Hello, welcome to the I Am Jen Wilson podcast. And today I have Julie, who is
Oh.
from Unicorn Cup.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I'm so excited to have you here. So I first knew of your work about 2017, 2018. You were at a pop-up market thing, and I was kind of looking from a distance, the way you do,
So
all these
everything
people
else.
do, look from a distance, don't want to speak to her, she might sell me something that I don't want. But I did come over, we had a brief chat about the cups and the benefits of using them, which is what we're going to talk about today. And I left and I thought, I'm going to order myself one of those cups. So I ordered one and I have never looked back. And I tell everybody to try them or to use them. So
That's
there
what
we
it's all
are.
about. It's about
Yeah.
you having conversations with people, because the problem with periods and period products, we don't talk enough about periods as a subject as a whole. Never mind, by the way, I found something else that's really good to manage your period. We're still really weird speaking about this kind of subject. So the fact that you're out there and you're actually bringing that subject up with somebody is amazing, and that's the kind of conversations that we need to be ensuring that we have.
Well, I talk to people about their body functions all the time, because when I get diagnosed with IBD, I'm like, right, people, how are you? Oh, I've done a whole poo today. I've got really bad diabetes, and you can see them going,
But again,
all right,
it
I'm like,
normalises it then, if you're speaking like that, because
they're asking me how I am.
I'm not telling exactly how I am. But you're right, because there's so many other people who suffer with something like that, and the fact that you're speaking so openly about it, they could be standing there with exactly the same condition, don't want to tell anybody, but because you're so open about it, you've made them feel comfortable. So if they're going to be somewhere else, the next thing somebody will be saying, how are you? And they're like, I'm great, thanks, I've been to the toilet 3 times today.
And the rock healthy food. No, but around that same time, I came off the pill. I had been on the pill for 21 years. So for 21 years, I hadn't
Huge
had a
length of
cycle.
time, yeah.
I had my breakthrough bleeds on regular occasions. When I was about 35, things changed with the bleeds and started becoming like just drops of blood. So I'd gone to the doctor and said, something's changed, this is a bit weird. And he was like, well, symptoms are getting less, so what's the problem?
And that was it, that was your answer.
That was the answer. So I went, okay, he's the doctor, he knows what he's talking about, because that's what I thought in those days. Trusted him, went away, and then around that, the end of 2017, there was this wee voice in my head, you don't want to be on the pill, like, I don't want to get pregnant, but this isn't right, this isn't right. And then through the diagnosis, started looking into the link between the pill and Crohn's, and there is a link, because the pill damages gut microbiome. But then I started having a period, and then started realizing I had a cycle.
Did you feel relief at that point
When
when you were actually starting to have the period?
I
Because
was
you've obviously
really
had your kind of breakthrough
interested.
bleeds for all those years as well, and then all of a sudden you've got an actual period now.
I was really interested because I was starting feeling emotions, and I'd been really numb for a long period of time, and I thought that's my personality.
But think about what you're saying. Think about that. How, you know, there's loads of people now that are out there that are providing advice about hormones and the impacts. There's a girl that I speak to on LinkedIn, Caitlin Farquharson, who does a
Oh,
lot of work
yeah,
around,
I've spoken there,
hormone fairy godmother. And she does a lot of work around that, speaking to people about the impact of things like the pill long term. But isn't that insane that for you know, you've been numbed for such a long time and thought it's just me, or somebody else might be thinking, I probably get depression, it could be anxiety, there could be all these different things going on, when actually what it possibly could have been is the chemicals that are being pumped into your body every month via the pill, you know.
So I think it probably then took about another 3 or 4 years for things to become my normal and to regulate. But I was coming across you and following your channel, I started being educated in
Oh, good,
what a
it really
period
is. Yeah.
was, the different phases of it. And I'm like, how can I be in my 40s and not know
Something wrong with
this?
that. We're all like that,
Like,
honestly.
did not get taught any of this stuff. And we were talking before, and I said, you know, I went to Catholic school. I went to Catholic primary school, Catholic high school, and our education in primary 7 was the girls were taken away into a TV room, and we could sit down and watch this video that I think was probably filmed in the 70s.
Probably was.
And it was a girl going into the chemist to buy some sanitary towels. And that was the education around your period. And then in high school, it was section E in science. In first year, everybody was getting excited about it because you were doing the reproductive system. And there really wasn't a lot. It was like, here's the ovaries, here's the testes, that the end.
And a lot of the time that, so the curriculum, I talk about this lack of education all the time, but there's such a distinct lack of education. The curriculum's not set up properly to educate us on our anatomies properly to the level that we need to know to go about our daily lives. Even the basics, we'd spoken about this before, but the urethra being separate from the vagina. Again, a lot of girls will come up and they'll say to me, can you pee while you're wearing a pee makeup? And as I've said to you before, I've had older women at my stand who've laughed at younger girls at 16, 17. And at that point, I was, chin them. You've got to. You can't allow that kind of behaviour. Now, initially, some people will laugh because you're talking about periods and it's a nervous reaction. But this was a young girl who came over to my stand and was confident enough to engage in a conversation about periods. So that in itself is incredible. But for an older woman then to laugh at her because she said to me, can you pee with it in? It's not that girl's fault that she doesn't understand that the urethra is separate from the vagina because she's probably never been given that education. And because they're so close to one another, unless she has looked at her own anatomy using a mirror or something like that, she's going to think it's the same place because they're so real. In fact,
You have
camera can see
yours.
that,
Yeah,
yeah.
go close
So I'm going to go close up here to show you the
camera.
urethra. There we go. So yeah, the wee hole there is the urethra. So because they're so close to one another, it's completely understandable that somebody might think that. However, you can't then humiliate them. You need to empower them and encourage them to learn a wee bit more. And one of the biggest or the most rewarding parts of what I do, it's not that I have my own business. No, that is rewarding. I really enjoy having my own business. But it's the education piece. And it's when somebody comes back to you, like a school I was at last week, and the girl pulled me aside and said to me, this education you've given is incredible. I'm saying a school, it was actually one of the college campuses. She said, I don't have a mum and my dad's not really good at talking about these kind of things, so thanks very much for this education. I could cry.
No.
Goosebumps and all that, because you think, do you know
Do
what? You forget there are so many people out there that don't have a caregiver at home,
Yeah.
nobody that's speaking to them about their anatomy, about periods, about alternative solutions to managing your period, ones that are better for you, for your health, but ones that are better for you, physically to allow you to continue playing sports. There's so many different people that this could benefit for different reasons, but unless you and I and schools and local authorities
Yeah.
are all engaging in conversations, we're going to be stuck like this for years and years thinking pads and tampons are the only solution. So I'm really pleased that first you and I had that initial connection, but also that it's benefited you as well. And then what you've done,
Even in an
because
older age.
that's it. Again, it was the same. I was 38 when I tried a pee makeup for the first time. And I tried one because I'd read about them online before. And read about them online, thought, oh yeah, that sounds really good. Why I wasn't triggered to buy it, I don't really know. And I have thought back about this a lot. Probably the same as everyone else, that I just didn't know enough to trigger me to then say, right, I definitely want to go ahead and I want to try this. And I'd gone to America, got relatives that live over there, and my periods were really, really heavy. No longer in contraception. Periods were back to like they were when I was young, really heavy, lots of baby cramping as well. And I saw these in Walmart. I saw this menstrual cup and I thought, $40, first off, $40. But again, you don't think that if you buy it and you're successful with it, you can use that one for years and years. But all I saw was the $40. And I didn't buy it at that point, I walked away. But then I went back to my aunt's house later on and I thought, we're walking about for hours tomorrow. I think we'll go to Disney or somewhere. We're walking about for hours. I don't know where the toilets are. I'm bleeding really heavily. I'm going to go home to another pharmacy and see if I can buy one. So I bought one in CVS, took it home, literally didn't really get into a panic at all. I know people can get really uptight because they're unsure, but I was quite relaxed, opened the packaging up, read the instructions, put it in, and then put a towel down in my bed because I thought I'm going to get up in the morning and guaranteed it's going to be a bloodbath. There's going to be period blood all over the place. And my husband thought the same as well. So I put this towel down, set the alarm for the morning, and I remember waking up in the morning, and the first thing that came to mind was, oh my God, thought I was going to get up and be all wet. Got up, jumped out of the bed, not a thing, no leaking, nothing at all. Back to the bathroom, changed it. So I was lucky, I managed to put it in and take it out first time. Some people, it can take maybe three cycles before they're fully comfortable with the insertion and the removal. But I looked at my period as well, so see, before I tipped it away, I went into the bathroom, took it out, and instead of taking it out and tipping it straight away, I took it out and I lifted it because I thought, I've never seen my period properly. We're always used to absorbing it onto a pad or a tampon. I want to see what it's like. And I looked at it, looked at the consistency, poured it down the toilet and thought, this is incredible. Put it back in and wait a full 10 hours in a different country where I didn't know where there were bathrooms without having to change my period cup. So came back here and I'm very much somebody that if I like something, I'll tell other people about it. And at the back of my head, I keep thinking about this clinic up, and I thought, what would I tell people? Where would I tell them to go? What brand would I tell them to look at? And there was always another really big brand in the UK, and it's been around for a long, long time. But I didn't really know much about that other brand myself. I thought, I'm not confident to kind of send anybody anywhere other than telling them about my own experience. And at that point, I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to create my own brand. So yeah, fast forward about 6 months after I launched, I then became part of the Scottish Government's Peri Poverty Trial. So that trial has been carried out on behalf of the Scottish Government by a charity up in Aberdeen, a wonderful, amazing charity called CFIN. And CFIN were taking Peri products out into the communities, and they were trying to set up a model that we could roll forward throughout Scotland about how we can access Peri products. And I contacted them and said, are you thinking about period cups? And they said, yeah, of course we are. We're using this other brand. And I said, okay, can I maybe send up some of yours? They said, look, we'd love to try them. So they started, we bought 10 initially, and then that 10 turned to 50, turned to 100, and just kept rolling and rolling and rolling. And a lot of the reasons they preferred unicorn cup was because the softness of it, the flexibility, but also the case that it comes with, because it's probably going to later on, the case you can use to not only store the product, but if you needed to rinse it when you're out in public somewhere, you can use it
Have to
for
do that.
that. So they very favourably chose Unicorn Cup and continued to distribute. So before the legislation was passed officially in Holyrood, Unicorn Cup was distributed across food banks in Scotland by FareShare, the charity organisation. And I worked a lot with FareShare and developed some educational videos for them as well on their behalf, just to explain facts about sustainability, about how many period products were binning.
I've recorded.
I think we got all that, all this way in. Don't worry. Imagine all this way in, had to press that button. Don't worry. I'm glad we did.
Don't worry, so many edit in the middle here.
Nah, keep it in, just keep it in. So yeah, so did some stuff about statistics and about environmental impact that switching to a menstrual cup can have. In the UK each day, we bin in the region of 700,000 panty liners, 1.4 million tampons, and about 2.4 million sanitary towels
Oh my
down the
God.
toilets every single day. Now,
There's
some
so much
people,
plastic in
it's
that.
wild. And when you think
Oh.
about the majority of people that are using organic products, and the amount that are using non-organics, and the non-organics have about 95% plastic in them. They're made of things like polyethylene, polyurethane.
Oh my God.
There's all sorts of stuff inside here. So yeah, that's what's been down the toilet every day. So I worked with FareShare, talked about sustainability, developed some video education for them. And then when the legislation was passed, that responsibility then fell onto local authorities. So there's a couple of local authorities in Scotland that I work with. And primarily at the moment, what I do is I work with colleges and universities through another company called Banner, who I supply to. Banner have really embraced the challenge of putting together period dignity packages for colleges and universities. Because what they need to do as a supplier is they need to supply these colleges with organic pads and tampons, period products from menstrual cups through to period pants and reusable pads as well. So what they've done is they've kind of hand-picked who they wanted to be part of their period dignity offering. So I work with another couple of organisations, TSL, who are organic pads and tampons, and then the lovely Nora, who are period pants and reusable pads. Made in Glasgow, there's a factory here
Amazing.
that makes them. They used to be, or still are, Topsports, the reusable nappies.
Right, thank
So they're period pants as well.
Yeah.
So we all work in behalf of Banner and we go into colleges and unis, but for me, the big part's the education piece. It's explaining to not just girls and women, anybody who knows somebody that has a period, even getting males involved in the conversations, young boys especially in school, to try and break that stigma, which is there. And it's about humiliating people and making fun of them because they have a period, they're a period product. I am one for chinning people. If you try and humiliate somebody when they're at one of my education sessions or stands, I will question them because I had two girls at a stand. I'll tell you this story. I had two girls at a stand last week, three in total, but two who were really nervous. And again, I always like to think I've got quite a direct approach to people. See, I find it really easy to talk to, and I pride myself on that, especially because of the type of thing that we're discussing. So three people at the stand, and a boy walked past, and because I had my lovely models with me, he laughed and started making rude comments. And two of the three girls that I was speaking to literally about turned and walked away in the middle of this education that I was delivering to them. So the guy didn't walk far away, he stood in the background. So when he stood in the background, I shouted to him and I said, "Can I ask you what it is you're studying to be?" And I couldn't understand him at first. He was shouting copper. He was even a police officer. Couldn't understand. I said, "What?" And he said, "A copper." I said, "A policeman." And he went, "Ah." I said, "I just need you to know." I said, "You've embarrassed two girls who are getting some critical information that they probably didn't get in school and may not get anywhere else if they don't have somebody at home." But at that point, because you were laughing, making those remarks, those girls just turned around and walked away. And I need you to understand the impact that you had. And in fairness to this guy, he was only 16, really tall boy. In fairness to him, he took it on board completely. He went, "I'm really sorry. I didn't think about it like that." And that's why I always feel that something like that happens. I do need to question people about it, about their reactions, because I need to make them think next time they go to do something like that. Because you don't know who you're speaking to, you don't know how vulnerable that person is. You know yourself, Jenny's products, they can last for up to 10 years. So let's look at it from a period dignity perspective. If you manage to speak to someone and deliver that education, they then have the informed choice to choose to take this product home because they're provided free by some of the colleges and universities. You need to make sure they get the education, and it's critical information that those two girls had missed based on that Daphne comment that guy's made. Now, luckily, these girls came back later on and they were dead embarrassed. I said, "Don't be embarrassed. I'm really glad you came back." But we need to continue challenging the stigmas all the time, because if that girl had been somebody who came from a background where there's poverty at home, where they don't have a lot of money, not everybody knows or understands how to access free period products in Scotland yet. So if she's at home and doesn't have money for period products, that opportunity had that passed her by, and luckily it didn't, and she came back and she got the product and she understands how it works. But that could solve any issues that she has in period poverty for up to 10 years. So the impact of one wee comment can be huge and have huge impact on the person that it's affecting.
And he just thought he was being funny and all that.
It's the lag thing. So that's where it comes back to. Social media is a bit of a hit and miss for me. Facebook is terrible. Instagram is okay. TikTok is amazing. TikTok feels like, for all the negativity that TikTok gets, TikTok feels like a safe place for a lot of people. They will
Go
absolutely
for the education.
see people that say TikTok's just full of nonsense. It's not. Get your algorithm right. Don't engage with all the rubbish stuff that's on it. Keep that for your personal profile. Like, I do all the rubbish on my personal profile, and then on the actual business profile, there's really engaging content and lots of educational stuff. But it feels like a safe place because the questions that I get asked on TikTok, I've never had these questions. What I tend to get on Instagram is a lot of my friends, a lot of people that know me, and then people like yourself who've tried the product. Facebook, it's really poor. It just tends to be people that know me that will like stuff.
It's an older audience in Facebook now, though.
An older audience who are really. I need to watch what I'm saying. Really challenging
They love
to.
you.
We do love challenge because you're people that are my age. You know, some people are talking to people our own age, but you're really, really challenging. Older people, the majority of them aren't prepared to listen to something different, to understand that there are different products that will help them. Younger people are really good. Younger people will just take it and go and try it, and if you've got any questions, I'll ask you. Older people are keep saying this. Just really weird about anything new. And possibly that's down to maybe more of a lack of education with people our age. Because let's think about it, other than what you said earlier on, what else did you get in school about your body? What else did you learn?
Not very little. Like, human biology was not a big part of biology. It was, and had I been taught a lot of human biology, we did a wee bit in the digestive tract, and I excelled at
That was.
those two modules within 5 years of being in high school. The rest of it was about plants and photosynthesis and osmosis.
My daughter's not enjoying that. She's doing it in school at the moment.
If I had known back at school that I was good at human biology, I would have been in this career from the start,
Absolutely.
not going into it when I was 30.
How sad is that as well? It's really, really sad. It's
But I did go and get to travel the world,
well, okay. I
so
know, there you go.
that's a nice
I
thing.
was going to say
One thing in
definitely.
the
We didn't get, we really didn't. You know, so for the audience, I'm 44.
We didn't.
I left school mid-90s and didn't learn anything that I needed to about my body. And again, like you, I haven't been this person that's known a lot more than some, not everyone at all, but than some other people. all my life. This has been since I tried a PB cup, loved it, came back here, wanted to have my own brand, and then had to educate myself. Always using the most reputable sources that I can find online.
Yeah.
Always reputable medical sources as well. But I had to educate myself. And then through doing all the events that I do, I speak to so many people at these events. I've been at a new college in Lanarkshire over the last 2 weeks, and I did a total of four sessions there, and each session was 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. 200 people over 4 days all took unicorn cups home with them.
Yeah.
And every single person that does gets an education session before it, because they're not online out, you can just go up and grab. They're behind me.
Yeah.
So everybody that comes up,
Yeah,
I'll
I've
deliver
had
to one
conversations.
person, I'll deliver to 10. But I'm so passionate about the education piece because there are other brands out there, and I don't personally feel focused enough on PB cups and how they're used. And you can't just go say to somebody, here you go, there's a PB cup, go and use it. They're going to be like, well, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah.
How does this work? So the education piece I'm really passionate about, but everybody that gets a cup gets the chance to make an informed decision on whether they want one. It's not just a come and get these because
Because
we're
it's
lucky
free.
enough to provide three in a
Yeah.
lot of institutions,
Yeah.
and establishments. So everybody gets that full education piece, and that full education piece, I mean, I can run through quickly for you just
Go
now
for
because it's
it.
probably a big
Yeah.
mouthful, but especially to the audience at home who don't really know how PB cups work. So whenever I go into colleges and universities, I always have this with me, my big badge, and I have this with me as well. And this is really, 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 really important, because what I normally do is say to people, does anyone know what any of these are that I'm holding up to you just now? And 9 times out of 10 people don't, and that's okay, because I didn't either until I started this brand and started to educate myself. The reason I take this with me, first of all, is because this shows our anatomy. So as we're standing just now, this is probably the position that things are going to be in. So this, the exterior part here is the vulva. The exterior part is not the vagina. And again, if you didn't know that, it's because you weren't educated, so
I
don't
learned
worry.
that a couple years ago.
There you go. But again, if you don't get that information, we don't know. So exterior part's the vulva. And then the internal part here is the vagina, this part here. And at the end of the vagina, you can see the pink part here, which is the uterus and the womb. And at the end of it, there's a wee hole here, and that is the cervix. And I take that in with me again because a lot of people don't know much about their anatomy. So it's really important if you're thinking about using an internal PB product, that you know what your anatomy is like inside. One of the most important things is to understand that your vagina is a dead end. So if you put anything into your vagina, it can't get lost. There's physically nowhere for it to go. And this is really important for people that are trying a cup for the first time, because people say, can it get lost? When you lose something means you lose it and you can't find it, unless you're lucky and you've got somebody that can retrieve it. My husband's like a sniffer dog, doesn't matter what gets lost in the house, he'll always manage to find it. I think it's because he's a prison officer as well, so he's probably used to that. But it can't get lost because it's there. It's in your vagina. Your vagina, for a lot of us, is a lot smaller than we probably think. And at the very end of it, that part here is the cervix, which I've also just shown you the other model. But it can't get lost anywhere. It can't go into the vagina and then come out through somewhere else. So it's really important that you understand your anatomy. When you're putting a period in cup in for the first time, you put it in like you would a tampon. And again, what I've learned to do is not be convinced that everybody understands or has been told how to put a tampon in, because so many people have never even been told that. And what I mean by that is using two fingers to separate the labia. So you have to, you think about it, when you're putting a tampon in, you separate your labia with both fingers, but it's even the basics like that
Yeah.
people haven't even been taught.
Yeah.
So up one hand, left or right, two fingers separate the labia. You would do exactly the same for you put in a PB cup, and then you fold it. Teaching an old dog new tricks here, because you know how this works. But you're just going to fold it, and these are really, really squishy as well. So you're going to fold it, get it into this shape, and this shape is not much bigger than a tampon. What you do at that point is you just push as you would a tampon, and it sits in your vagina. We have two different sizes in this pack because this model has a higher up cervix.
Yeah.
And this cup is suitable for an average to low cervix. So you can see there's quite a gap between where the cervix is and where the cup is.
Yeah.
So for this person with an average to high cervix, The bigger of the two cups would be better, and the pack comes with two anyway. So if you see the difference, once we put in the bigger cup sits really, really snug underneath the cervix. You're going to bleed straight into that. You won't have any leaks. If you don't know what height your cervix is, what you can do, and here's another funny one, Jen, people are really weird about this as well. I always say to people to measure your cervix, you can use your finger. And sometimes people go, ooh. And then you have other conversations. And again, this is all dependent on age. There's a lot of different factors here. But if you aren't comfortable enough with your own body to use your finger to insert into your own body, it isn't anyone else's body, it's your body. We need to try and encourage people that if you're going to get into a relationship in the future where someone else during consensual sex, someone else has, you know, a finger, a hand,
Access
a heart,
bodies.
yeah. A body part inserted into you or using their own body parts during consensual sex, you have to be comfortable enough putting your own finger in. And I get people horrified when I suggest this, and there are other ways you can do it, but on average, what we would say is the cervix can be felt, it feels like the end of your nose.
Right.
So it's squishy, bit of cartilage in it as well. But to measure your cervix, you can use your finger. Now, again, these are all just averages. So what we would say is if you put your finger and up to the first knuckle, everybody's longer, shorter fingers. The cervix does move a wee bit and dilate from ovulation through until your period, but in general, you'll be able to tell if it's higher or lower. You can put your finger in. If it goes up to the first knuckle, you can feel your cervix. It's really quite low. Middle, just to make sure this gets to the right angle. Middle would be an average height cervix, and if your finger has to be all the way in before you feel your cervix, then it's quite high cervix. That's the way you can do it, or you can try the smaller of the two period cups, first of all. Firstly, you're bleeding within, put a panty liner on. When you get home, if most of the period is inside here, but there's some on the panty liner, it normally means you need to switch up to the bigger cup. Okay, so that's how that works. But again, if people don't understand their anatomy properly, no wonder they're not going to want to use a product that you're saying you have to put inside, because the first thing people are going to think is, oh my God, is that going to get lost? But that's why I'm here with my big badge to show you that it can actually get lost because it's in the vagina.
I think, like you were saying about putting your finger into your vagina, there's like this whole taboo around women shouldn't masturbate, where men are totally, it's totally fine for men to talk
Absolutely.
about it, we're not.
Absolutely. Why is that? Because
I don't
everything's
know.
always been driven by men. There's that bravado thing about a man masturbating as well, you know, telling their pals. You know, there's a really, really well-known Scottish comedy production that has a sketch in it about that, where they're kind of celebrating that the wee guy has become sexually aroused for the very first time. And, you know, so it's a very different thing between men and women, isn't it? It's celebrated in men, whereas women, we shouldn't be doing that at all. We shouldn't even be talking about masturbation, never mind the thought of us actually doing it. I think on another side, it's always that it's sexualized. So what I'm seeing by that is as
You
soon
think
as you
anything about
say
a woman's body
yes,
sexualized,
absolutely,
or nipples, or vagina,
the whole
the
lot.
whole
So as soon
lot,
as you talk about putting a finger in, immediately somebody's mind switches to the sexual aspect of it. When it's not, it's a really important thing that if you're going to try something like a period cup, that you're potentially using your finger just to see if your cervix is low or high. But not even just that, just understanding what your body feels like inside. Really interesting. I was at an amazing, amazing school event last week. So this event was put on by the Well HQ. So they're an organisation in England who work with a lot of governing bodies in sport, and they comprise of two doctors and an ex-Olympian, and they're very passionate about bridging the huge gap, the knowledge gap about female anatomy, the female body, how the body works, the misconceptions about the female body and how they all link into sports. So they had this fantastic event at Shaun's Academy in Glasgow last week. And at that event, they had 180 pupils, all third-year pupils from Shaun's Academy and some from 10 other schools in Glasgow. And they brought them in. We had Dr. Emma in the morning speaking about pelvic health and breast health. The Sweaty Betty Foundation donated a brand new sports bra to every girl who
Amazing.
attended as well. They all got the chance to get measured up and make sure they had the right size home with them. We had Glasgow City Council giving every girl a pair of period pants and reusable pads. And then we had the option. And the reason I'm saying option for a reason, we had the option of those who wanted a unicorn cup to take a unicorn cup home. And the reason, viewers, I'm saying option is because Glasgow City Council are incredible. However, not at Glasgow City Council level, way, way above them, Scottish Government advice is that we should only be speaking to girls of a certain age about internal period products. Now, it's really interesting because from what I believe, and again, this is information I've been given, so I can't quote this directly, but the information I have been given is that the Scottish Government themselves have told local authorities not to speak to anybody below S4 about internal period products. S3 at push. But what we need to realise is that our girls start their periods between 9 and 13 on average.
Yeah.
And in the first year, there are definitely girls who I have spoken to who are already thinking about the idea of using a tampon or have already used one.
Yeah.
Now, I know that that's young for a lot of people, but for other people, it's not young.
Yeah.
Because it's, again, misconceptions. Using an internal period product has absolutely no effect on virginity. It is a huge myth. The hymen is a thin, stretchy membrane of skin. You can be born with a fully intact hymen, a perforated hymen. You can have had fully penetrative sex and still have an intact hymen. It's just that it's a cultural and religious myth that's perpetuated. It doesn't dictate virginity. However, when girls are younger, they just might not be comfortable inserting something.
Yeah.
And I totally understand that. But why should we not be at least speaking to them about it so that they understand when they're in a position that they're comfortable enough? They might not ever want to use an internal period product. They might be more than happy using period pads and reusable pads and stuff like that. But we need to give them the chance to make an informed decision.
Yeah.
And I know I've jumped about a wee bit, but we're talking about stigma with boys. Mm-hmm. This goes back to stigma with boys. And mums and dads, we need to talk about these products and give everybody an option. Tell them everything that's out there. Tell them about pads. Tell them about tampons. Tell them about reusable pants. Tell them about period cups. Because if you don't tell your kids and nobody else does, 10 years from now, they're still going to be using pads and tampons. And we're still going to be chucking them down the toilet. And there's still the risk of things like bacterial vaginosis from tampon shedding, which we've not even got into yet.
Yeah.
But we need to give everybody the chance to make an informed decision. So as parents, we should educate our kids. See if you've got boys, please say to your boys, here's what a period is. This is what happens to somebody every month. Here's the products that they need to deal with. But also, here's a wee bit about what that person might be dealing with themselves. You can get things called endometriosis. Tell them a wee bit about it. There you go. See, this is what happens. You start a conversation with one thing and all these other things come up. So
I would just get diagnosed with it in April. So I haven't seen a gynecologist yet.
So been, April, and we're now in what, September, and diagnosis but no gynecologist.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
I saw the GP in the October before, and it took that long to get the ultrasound to get the diagnosis.
I don't want to go off track, but this is really important. You mentioned having IBD.
Yeah.
My sister had horrific bowel issues for a long time, and I believe she thought it was IBD, something really severe. Turns out she was diagnosed with endometriosis, and what had actually happened was it was where the endometrium, the lining of the womb, was growing. It was growing in her bowel.
Yeah.
And this is why my sister apparently had symptoms, or these really horrendous symptoms, which turned out to be, rather than being IBS or IBD, which is horrendous, even worse, it turned out that it was endometriosis. So there you go. So again,
I'm sitting with a diagnosis of both.
Lucky me.
But the condemnity inflammation is the root cause.
Yeah.
So I am somebody who is susceptible to inflammation. So that's what a lot of the work that I do is how do I reduce inflammation, and that's what I share and teach.
So with your endometriosis, then it's a really, really difficult condition for a lot of people, for the majority of people that have it. Did you experience, well, that's different for you because you were on contraception for such a long time.
Yeah.
When you then came off of your contraception and you started to have a period, was your bleeding, were you flooding? Was it really, really heavy? Have you experienced that?
So that's a question I actually wanted to ask you today, because I saw somewhere, and I can't remember if it's on your channel, that a normal period is between 5 and 80 mils.
Yeah.
Is that a day, or is that over the full duration of your bleeds?
So over the course, and that's a very wide spectrum. So the 5 to 80 is really encapsulating the whole variety that's in amongst that. So what we see on average over the course of your period, so whether you've got a 3, 4 or a 5 day period, you'll bleed between 5 and 50 millilitres. 80 is then up at that endo scale.
Okay, so I in my first 2 or 3 days of
Yeah.
bleed, I probably bleed 80 mils a day. Is
Jeez.
that a lot?
It's a lot, yes.
Okay, did not know that
Yeah,
because I was like, well, that's just my normal period.
that's really heavy.
That's
Now,
like, okay.
what is really interesting though is, have you been using pads or tampons? How would you have been able to determine, but where you're using something like a cup,
That's how I know how
that's
much
a
I bleed every
huge
day.
difference. So you can at least go armed with more information. And it's a shame that we do, but no, not all doctors, some doctors are incredible, but some doctors, we need this briefcase with all our information that we've recorded everything for about 3 years before they'll even begin to talk to us. But that's really interesting because you can go and say, I'm somebody who uses a period cup. This is how much the cup that I use holds, and here's how often I'm having to change that. Now, what you'll get inside your period is you obviously get period blood, but along with that, there's endometrium in there, there's cervical fluid, there's vaginal fluid as well. But the biggest majority of it's going to be your actual period itself. So that's really interesting. You are bleeding really heavily, but it's good that you have the diagnosis of endo, even though you're waiting to see the gyno, and you can go back and you can say to that gynecologist, my period cup has been changed this many times a day, and it's full at that point.
And it also makes sense why I've got anemia, like I've had problems with anemia as well, which I
100%.
had way back, like before I started Dodra
Yeah.
pill. Nobody ever asked me about how much I was bleeding during my period. So now, and there's a hospital I want me to inject, and I'm like, but I don't know when you've taken my iron sample. Like, let me.
When was the reading? Yeah.
One of the times it was straight after a period. The
Yeah.
next time I got it just before the period. It's
Yeah.
still on the low end,
But you should really be trying
but
to get it
so I
regularly.
know that I need to then take loads of iron supplement
Yeah.
to make sure that I'm topped up because
You're
that's why I'm
potentially
low because
becoming
I'm hemorrhaging.
you're becoming anemic because of that blood.
The excess
Yeah.
flow,
Yeah.
gosh,
So that's
yeah.
really, really heavy.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but again, it's just interesting that at least us having this conversation as well. You think all those years ago, so prior to you getting on the pill, it was probably what you've had then, but in presenting itself, but then you got on the pill and the pill's not,
Suppressed it.
I have masked it, I was going to say, yes, I've
Yeah.
suppressed it. So how interesting is it now? You've come off of those artificial hormones, giving your body a break, and you're actually discovering what your body is actually doing.
Because the only reason I didn't think that that was particularly heavy because like my cousin and my friends that have got into like a flooded like flooded the bed, I've gone
Yeah.
through 3 mattresses this year and I'm like, oh, mine's never that bad. But
No,
then
that's
because I'm
heavy.
using a cup,
Yeah.
so it's catching everything and then
Yeah.
it's not flooding because I'm like, oh no, I don't flood, so anymore,
No.
just drink through my cup.
But that's key. So that's key. So here's the thing with a lot of people, they don't look at period products and study them. I'm not expecting people to. I have to now look at things because it's my job to do so. But let me give you, just when you're touching on your friends talking about flooding and you thinking that you're not flooding because you're using a cup, it's the difference of what the product can hold. Now, somebody at college again saw me the other week and she'd seen me on the Monday at one of the campuses. Didn't come over to the stand, but what she told me later on, I walked past you and I said, I'm not going over to talk to that woman. I've got endometriosis, there's no point. Then she saw me at a different campus on the Wednesday and engaged with me then, and I said, no, the reason you have an endo is why you do want to try one of these cups. Anybody that has a period should want to try one if you're comfortable putting in an internal product. If you put a tampon in, there is no reason for you not to try this product. You shouldn't be scared, but understand why you are. But this girl came over, and what I had to explain to her was, I've got a tampon. Right, so this tampon, a bit worse for wear, but this tampon advertises that it holds about 5 milliliters. This pad, which is a standard always pad, is going to hold about 7 milliliters possibly. Now, British Medical Journal released a study 2 weeks ago now, and that study was detailing how these companies measure the absorbency of their products, and they do it using water. No wonder they're laughing. Using water.
Water period blood just
It's crazy.
the
I'm getting my bag of tricks over here, okay? I carry fake period blood around with me. And I'm sorry if this is very good for the video while I'm trying to rummage about my bag for this. But I do it for a reason because this is maple syrup and food colouring, and it's much more like what your period is actually going to look like. I put jam in this as well to replicate clots. If you've watched any of my other videos, the reason I do that is because pads don't hold clots. If you're somebody that wears a pad and your period has clots in it, they're just going to sit on top.
And
But
then they're going to burst and end up
absolutely
messing.
horrible.
7 or 8 milliliters of water, and tampon is about 5 milliliters of water. That small one holds 28 milliliters, and that holds 33.
Wow! And the old one was that. This is the old.
That was about 20. That one's about 26, right up to the rim there.
Yeah.
But these again, you're getting more out of the smaller one of this, slightly more than that one.
Yeah.
And that's the old model, which is now redundant. It was a fantastic model. However, with any product, if you can develop it, make it even better again. And that's what you want to do. And that's what I've done with these new ones. They still fold flat. They're still ultra soft. They've got a different medical grade silicone coating on them, which makes it much, much smoother to insert and take out, and less chance of it kind of being tacky and sticking. But yeah, 28 millilitres and 33 millilitres. So that's huge in comparison. So again, endometriosis sufferers who are having to change their product constantly.
Yeah.
Something like this, if for instance you're having to change your product every hour, this could maybe give you 3 hours or 4 hours instead. But what I always say to people during demos, when I'm talking about how long you can use these for, I always say, for most people, up to 12 hours. However, if you're somebody that has endo, you're going to be used to this anyway. Unfortunately, you're going to have to change more, but this will just lessen the impact of it. One of the key things about the unicorn cup as well, it comes with a sleeve case, which is really discreet. Just pop that in your bag. And again, for people with endo who are going to be used to having to change more frequently, the likelihood is you're probably going to have to change when you're away from home.
Yeah.
However, before you go into the bathroom cubicle, all you do is just put some water in the bottom of this and take it in with you, so that when you tip it and pour the blood down the toilet, you just chuck it in there, give it a bit of a shake and rinse it off.
Try and access the disabled toilet, because yeah, the sink's usually...
You've got the sink right here as well, yeah, absolutely. That's an option for me as well, but if you don't have that option, you can always use the case.
Okay, didn't know that wasn't normal.
I know. Are you hoping that's all right? That's why I'm talking about these type of things. Like, the major benefits for me, going out and delivering education, I get the chance to speak to so many different people with so many different stories about their periods, what their periods are like, what they experience themselves. And I wouldn't be privy to that information most of the time, so it's really good. It just engages people in conversation. People also come back up afterwards to talk to you about things. And this, for me, is really good, especially when I'm talking to younger people. So I was telling people about tampons last week, and again, you'll see this in some other videos, but tampons shed fibres. Look, I don't know if the camera can see that, but these wee fibres are everywhere, just from me touching the end of that. And these fibres left behind in your vagina can be a culprit for bacterial vaginosis. Now,
is that where we get toxic shock from?
No, that's really interesting you've said that, because I'll touch on toxic shock. So bacterial vaginosis we'll all probably get at one point in our life. And bacterial vaginosis, one of the key indicators of that is when you get a strong fishy odour coming from your vagina. Now, as I said to girls in school last week, your vagina doesn't smell of roses. We all have a natural smell. However, when that smell develops when there is a smell, natural smell, and then when there's a very strong overpowering, especially a fishy odour, that's normally bacterial vaginosis. Now, you can go to your doctors, your doctor will treat it, or you can just go to a local pharmacy. They'll treat it there. There are homeopathic remedies to treat bacterial vaginosis as well. So there's lots of different ways you can treat it, but it's really easy. Like, if you went to Boots, you take a tablet in Boots, and it would remedy the bacterial vaginosis. But bacterial vaginosis is when the pH level in the vagina is knocked off. It can be knocked off by bath bombs from that really popular shop that you get in shopping centres, really strong smelling perfume stuff.
Pungent.
You'll know the one I mean. I get a head sore head sometimes hearing it for too long.
Yeah.
Although they've got some great products, really overpowering smell, use one of their bath bombs.
Okay.
You could end up with bacterial vaginosis. But these are a real culprit for it as well. There was actually a medical study done in Kenya recently with a couple of hundred schoolgirls in Kenya who'd been using menstrual cups, and they said that the BV rates had been dramatically reduced by them switching to something like a period cup. So with the fibres being left behind in your vagina, it's just a perfect breeding ground for bacteria, and it can turn into bacterial vaginosis. Really interesting what you said about toxic shock. So toxic shock is not solely caused by tampons, but they're a contributor towards it. So again, there's lots of different variations in how this can happen, but I'll give you an example just now. When you insert and you take out a tampon, if you've got the wrong absorbency, so like a super heavy tampon in, or some people change their tampons every time they go to the toilet to do a pee.
Okay.
If that tampon is still dry and you're pulling it in and out, you're going to cause tiny microscopic tears in the vaginal wall, because it's dry cotton. When you think about it, like, we're managing our pees with a big dry bit of cotton shoved up your vagina. It's bonkers.
It is. It's when you actually think about it. It's ludicrous.
The man designed that as well.
apparently there's a possibility. I don't know if it's true,
okay.
But there is a possibility that it was a man, but men invented a lot of things. That's why even at the event I was at Sean's Academy last week, Dr. Emma was talking about men and why men and women are different. Crash test dummies were always based on men.
Yeah.
And apparently they revisited this again and they looked at doing it with a female model. And when they did, she was something, and I can't quote exact stats, so forgive me, but it's something like 27% more likely to die, 18% more likely to have head injuries and chest injuries, because all of the safety devices within cars were based around men.
Yeah.
But traditionally, that's the way it used to be. Men were...
Same in medicine. Like, women weren't included in medical studies until the 90s. And it's only in the last maybe 5 or 10 years that they've started actually comparing the results between men and women.
And they're so different.
And then this stuff with this, in sport, they're only just starting to study how a menstrual cycle impacts female performance in sport.
And it has a huge, huge impact. Yeah. Huge impact. But the toxic shock part, if you have tiny microscopic tears in your vagina, and then on top of that, we will carry the staph bacteria, but not everybody carries it in their vagina, only a certain percentage do, a small percent. But if you've got the tiny microscopic tears from tampon in, tampon out, wrong absorbency, if you then have staph bacteria present in your vagina, on top of that, if you've got poor hand hygiene, so if before you go to the toilet to change your tampon or menstrual cup or anything like that, you don't wash your hands properly, mm-hmm. you're then adding bacteria to the vagina. And then you've kept that tampon in for too long as well. All of these things are what can then develop into toxic shock. Mm-hmm. And toxic shock can result in sepsis and a loss of limbs. There's actually a model.
Yes,
Lauren Wasser, Racer.
Yeah.
And
Stephen Bartlett.
It's incredible.
I was terrified because she even mentioned the cups. And I'm like, cups are not safe. I need to speak to Julia about this.
No. So we'll touch on that every session. That's really interesting. So with the tampon, that's the risk of toxic shock. They don't cause it, they can contribute towards it. But people go, toxic shock's caused by tampon. I use tampons and I know they can cause toxic shock, but they don't because they've never been told why it happens.
Yeah.
The pack says may cause TSS, and people go, all right, I don't really know what that means, but I'm sure I'll be fine. Uh-huh. Until you speak to somebody whose mother had two tampons in 2 months later, was changing the original one, not realising there was one in before it, collapses 2 months later, rushed to a hospital. Mm-hmm. When they retrieve the original tampon, it's black inside because it's been in there for such a long time. The biggest study in menstrual cups was carried out by the Lancet Journal. It's a couple of years old now, but nothing really has changed with regards to technology. It's medical grade silicon the majority of cups are manufactured with.
Yeah.
And the Lancet Journal said that there have been 5 world cases worldwide of toxic shock related to menstrual cups. If you look at the figures in the UK, we get about 40 cases of toxic shock in the UK every year. We have, about 66 million people in the UK, something like that. And of those 40, not all of them are contributed to tampons. The biggest majority are. So we've got a percentage in there that's contributed towards by tampons. 5 cases worldwide with menstrual cups, and they believe that due to the location of where those cases happened, they believe that it was down to a lack of education and a lack of hygiene as well. Anything that is going to put bacteria into your vagina can potentially, if you've got everything else there, staph bacteria, all these other type of things, but there is far, far less risk. You can never say there's no risk with any product that you're inserting, but there is a massively, massively, massively reduced risk. 5 cases worldwide versus a large percentage of the 40 that we get, and that's just in the UK. So very, 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 very low risk of toxic shock from something like this. Don't worry.
Which is why we need to have these conversations, because if you just maybe miss it, there might be like information she was given. She's obviously very passionate about it because she has been affected.
Definitely.
And is angry and going through her process, and the information she's delivered is very biased to her own personal experience, which, like any information that's biased, whether it's positive or negative, is going to influence how people hear
of
it. I'm somebody who gets paranoid about stuff very easily, and I'm aware that I do. So I'm like, stop getting paranoid about this. When I go and speak to more people, get more information, ask more questions. Don't believe that one person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the same with anything that we do.
Like, of course.
Don't just believe me.
You can't. And that's why, you know, it's funny we're talking about this, because there's been a situation on social media, on TikTok recently, where there has been a lot of misinformation spread. About different subjects, and different people have been questioning them. All you can really do is look at the largest bodies of study that are available.
Yeah.
And the largest body of study came from the Lancet Journal, and the Lancet Journal said this is what the reported findings are. However, as time goes on, hopefully, because we're now focusing on periods and women's health and a lot more granular level, hopefully these studies will continue. It won't be a one-off, let's do a big study of menstrual cups and the benefits of them and any negatives of them. Hopefully now these studies are going to continue.
Yeah.
They have to. We can't just lock the door and say, okay, we looked at that once or twice, or, you know, that's it,
yeah,
we're done, we're not
going
to look for it again.
Yeah.
But people need to know the massive implications of continuing to use disposable products on the environment and on your own health as well.
Yeah.
And I do, it always blows my mind when people, they'll come up and they'll go, oh, I don't like the thought of that. And then I go, oh, I don't like the thought of that either, because these are not good ways to, when you actually think about it, they're not good ways to manage your period.
Yeah.
They're just the ways that we've been told for such a long time. They're not good ways, there are better ways out there. If you're somebody who isn't yet ready to use an internal period product, or also you may be somebody who just can't use an internal period product.
Yeah.
I spoke to a girl who approached my stand a couple of weeks ago, and she said to me, she didn't want to use the technical term, she wasn't sure if I didn't know what it was or not, but she said, I've got this condition where I can't really put anything into my vagina. And straight away I said to her, is it vaginismus? And vaginismus is an involuntary condition where the vaginal muscles will start to tighten up if something's inserted into the vagina. I think primarily, as far as I'm led to believe, it's psychological.
Yeah, it's trauma related.
It can be, absolutely, it can be trauma related. So you've got to look at it from that perspective. There are some people who won't or can't use an internal period product, and it can be because of medical trauma, but it can be because of sexual trauma as well, which is where things like reusable period pants are brilliant in comparison to using a pad. The pants are a much better option when you get your head around it. You're getting the pants, once you're finished, you're rinsing them in water, chucking them in the washing machine.
Yeah.
But we have to consider options available for everyone. So for people who can and do want to use an internal period product, please, please, please look at menstrual cups before you even look at tampons. Speak to your children. If your children are approaching an age where they're going to use an internal period product, speak to your children about it as well, because you've got to give your kids the option to choose any of the products that are available as well. So continue to speak to them and tell them, even if you yourself aren't comfortable with period products on a whole, put something together for them. If you think, God, I couldn't sit down and actually talk to them, understand that. I'm different, I'm very open, I find it easy to talk about these things. I get for a lot of people it can be really uncomfortable. Put something together then, or even better, send your kid some links so that they can actually look at it themselves and they can investigate it. As an example, I've got videos on my website. I also have the videos in the bottom of my package, and there's a wee QR code, and that QR code takes you to the homepage of my website, and on that homepage there is a video that says how to use. If you're not comfortable speaking to your children on your own, send them links like that, send them the link to my website, to other websites, just so that they then are loaded with information about what products they can use. From a sports perspective as well, you know, at the moment, quite a few girls who are playing netball at national level who are kind of under 19, and they're girls who I work with through a netball club that we've got close affiliations with, and they've been using the cup, quite a few of them, since they were 14.
Yeah.
And they're now 18, 19. They're using it. It really benefits them in sport. They don't have to worry about leaking during games.
Yeah.
You can go swimming with a period cup. You can sleep overnight in a period cup as well.
Yeah.
But if you don't get that information, you don't realise what the massive benefits of using it are.
Yeah.
For me, it's just all about continuing these talks about educating children, especially because that's the next generation. If we don't educate them and they go on to have children or no children, have nieces, have nephews, all we're going to do is continue telling them pads and tampons, pads and tampons, pads and tampons.
Yeah. I was at a family gathering a few months ago, and I've got endo. My cousin's just had a hysterectomy because she had really bad it. Well, they think she had endo, but they're not really sure. So just
even that, they just took it out to see if it.
Yeah. One of my other cousins has got PCOS. One of the cousins that's married into the family, she's got really bad period problems. Her daughter's now got period problems. So I'm sitting in the whole family's there, and we're talking about periods.
That's brilliant.
And some of the men are coming over like that. What's the conversation over here? And we're like, we're talking periods. And then, oh, okay.
See, I'm terrible. See when guys are around, I'm like that. Come over and have a wee listen.
You need to hear that.
Because you do. Because, so see this thing, and again, you, when people go, I've got my things.
Yeah.
See that I'm whispering? they're whispering because they're embarrassed. Why are they embarrassed? Because the stigma that's been around for years. How do we break the stigma? By stop making people embarrassed. How do we stop doing that? By engaging in conversation, making sure people aren't laughing at other people when they talk about period products. Yeah. Just getting them to engage in general. You know, here's a prime example. Boys at a college the other week who were having a laugh and a joke as they walked past. These boys are all at college training to be personal trainers. Now, as I said to them, you're going to have a huge percentage of your clients that are going to be female.
Yeah.
And if you have somebody who's your client and you are doing barbell squats with them that day, and that client says to you, I'm really sorry, I'm on my period. I'm really worried that I'm going to leak. Going to tell me if you can see anything, or can we avoid this exercise? As a PT, imagine you know more about the female body and the products that are available. You can then say to them, listen, have you ever thought about something like a menstrual cup? Because once you've got them in place properly, they don't leak. You can wear them for much longer than you can with pads and tampons. Imagine how valuable that would be as a female if you didn't know about that and your male PT is telling you about this other period product. It strings to your bow. If you're doing that as a profession, you need to understand things that can help your clients out with the remit of just what you can do for them in a gym setting.
Yeah.
And as a former PT, would you not agree that that's
absolutely
invaluable information?
Understanding, like, so I used to, as I said, I haven't been on the pill for 21 years, so I didn't have a cycle, so I didn't understand that energy changes throughout the month, and emotions change throughout the month. But I would have conversations with the clients where they would be like, oh, I'm on my period this week, and like if they were trying to do heavy lifts or whatever, and they were really struggling, they're like, I don't understand all this. And I would go, where are you in your cycle? But physically, I had no relation to the question that I was asking. Now I do, because I now experience that. And I'm like, oh, these days I'm a bit more tired. Where am I? Because I now chart.
Yeah.
Because I've had the bowel problems, and because there was this talk of, oh, well, you might have endometriosis. It's come up on an MRI when they were looking at something else, and they noticed some scarring. So that was the only reason that this...
Otherwise, they wouldn't have picked up on it potentially.
Because when I would say, oh, I've got a bit of pain in my hip, but I thought it was because my bowel was inflamed and it was pushing my bones out the way. I didn't realise it was to do with a period.
Yeah.
So now I track everything. I'm like, what day is it? What day of my cycle is it? How many times am I going to the toilet? What's the quality of that? What's my energy like? So I can track it all through the month. And that has been so useful because I'm like, oh, that's why I'm a bit more tired today because I'm on day whatever. Right, I'll just be a bit easier on myself. That's fine.
Absolutely.
Oh, today I feel a bit stronger, so I can do a bit more.
So you think if you need that information for yourself, how valuable it is, for especially the personal training community?
Yes.
To understand that, especially as a male personal trainer. And I've got to say, when I went down and did the PerformX down in Tobacco Docks in London, I did that with The Well. And it was great to be kind of under their umbrella because they're all about empowering females. But with lots of different brands there. Period pants from Nixie Body. We've got Fab Little Bag, who's a disposable bag that you can use if you have a biodegradable bag that you can use if you have disposable period products, but the bathroom that you're in doesn't have a bin inside. We have Frida, who are organic pads and tampons. We were all there, and it was really interesting speaking to the male PTs because so many of them, especially the younger ones that were there, listened to the advice they were given on the stage and came down to engage with the brands. And I thought, do you know what? That's when you're making leaps forward because the guys have listened and they've come down. And again, the boys I was speaking to in college, who are so much younger, and I get it, they're younger, they're still immature, but I was trying to give them a bit of a life lesson by saying, you can over and stand and listen. This isn't just for people who have periods, it's for everybody, so that you're all informed. You, as a personal trainer, can pass that wealth of knowledge on to someone else and really, really help somebody, especially if it's your client. As a personal trainer, you know that yourself.
Yeah.
You must develop really strong bonds with your clients.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you do. Like, they tell you so much stuff that they wouldn't speak to anybody else about. Ego. And you can offer advice on stuff, particularly around their body, because maybe, oh, I was at the doctor and the doctor just kind of dismissed me or didn't really. But if you've got all this knowledge and all this understanding about how the body works and everything, and I think whether you like him or loathe him in the PT industry, James Smith.
Aye, right, so he's my husband, he's been a PT as well, and yes, he's so direct. And the good thing about James Smith is, see if somebody questions James Smith on his views, he will come back and give you a detailed breakdown why he feels a particular way, and he doesn't beat about the bush.
Yeah, but he's also been speaking more about female
cycles,
like hormone cycles, and I know a lot of the females in the industry are getting annoyed with him. Because
I don't think it should be.
He's a man, who's he to speak about this? But I'm like, he's got a huge platform and he's engaging in the conversation.
Absolutely.
And you see some of the women who
who comment on it are like, thank you so much for speaking about this, or nobody's speaking about this. And I'm like, we as female trainers, we as female coaches, we need to be looking at those comments and saying, we're not doing enough,
yeah.
we're not talking about it.
Yeah.
So we need to start talking about it more, because he's talking about it and getting engagement,
yeah.
because people are like, nobody's speaking about this, thank you for doing it.
It's funny you said that. So I had reached out to, I was going to reach out to a gym group.
Yeah.
Not even a group, a gym, a private gym. And I was going to reach out because they had something in common with me, with somewhere that we got things from,
yeah,
a supplier.
Yeah.
We had the same supplier in common. I was trying to word that the right way. And I happened to bump into the person when I was out that runs the gym, that owns the gym. And I said to that person, look, I'd be really interested, because it's all female clients, I'd be really interested in chatting to you, first of all, about mm-hmm. product and blah, blah, blah. And I've messaged her about 6 times. And she's read all the messages, and she was so, at the beginning, enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
This would be a great fit. Yep, sounds really good. And I've messaged her about 6 times, and I know everybody's got busy lives, but this has been on like maybe 3 months now.
Yeah.
And that's where it kind of blows my mind. If you're in that space,
yeah.
if you're looking after these particular type of clients who would benefit from a product, I'm not coming in to try and sell anything. I'm not coming in to charge you for education. I just want to stand in front of your people,
yeah.
who probably the majority of them have periods,
yeah.
or know somebody who does. I just want to stand in front of them and talk and show them.
Mm-hmm.
Because visually, you need to get this visually. But yeah, the person's still not messaging me back, and it's like 6 times. This is when, for me, it can get, you can get disheartened, but you've got to go, no, do you know what, for that one person that doesn't want to, there'll be somebody
yeah.
else that does. And that's why when women especially get annoyed at men, if it's a man that's out there talking about the subjects that a lot of us still don't want to,
yeah.
we should applaud the person, as long as they're doing it the right way. Another example would be, there was a local authority in Scotland who awarded a job to a man, and the job was the period products.
Oh, there was pure backlash over
there. There was massive backlash, and again, as far as I believe, and I can't, don't quote me on it because I'm not entirely sure, but as far as I believe, I know at the time he deactivated his social profiles, his LinkedIn profile. Yes, he cannot go out and speak to people who have periods as somebody who knows what it feels like to have a period. But if there was nobody else suitable for that job,
yeah.
who applied for that job, and that guy is prepared to go and do his homework and learn about periods and go to reputable medical sources and get all the information
yeah.
he possibly can, other than not having one himself, he can empathise because he has the knowledge.
Yeah.
And if nobody else was a candidate, we shouldn't have, I believe, gone about it the way we did and really light that on fire
yeah.
and shamed him. And there were some very, very, very vocal, famous people,
mm-hmm.
worldwide famous, who made comments about
yeah.
it on Twitter as well. Mm-hmm. And I get the initial reaction, why would you give a guy's job when a woman could have done that? But if no women suitable went for that, the guy, I believe the guy's background was a sales background. My background's a sales background. I worked in sales for years and years. Now, does that make me a vicious salesperson? Probably the opposite. I'm too busy giving people freebies, just trying to tell people if you like it. Probably the opposite, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very consultative salesperson. I just like to speak to people, and if they believe
yeah.
me and they believe in my brand, that's what will make them buy it. But if he came from that background as well, he's probably the right person with the right qualities. But if a female didn't stand up at the same
yeah.
time for an interview, why then do what we did to that guy? Because as females, we don't always speak about these subjects either.
Yeah.
And women get on their high horse for the right things a lot of the time, not taking that away from anybody. We fight for the right things a lot of the time, but there are some things like that. We should have just let that go and said, if the guy's prepared to go and know, he may have a daughter, he may have a wife, he may be at home and understand from them what their symptoms are like, or what it's like to live with people. All you're doing then is you're still expanding the conversations. But what we did was we shot that down in flames, and that person's then pulled from that position. As far as I know, they've never replaced that position. So now what you've done is you've impacted the community that position would have been supported by.
Yeah.
So,
and the thing is, if he had gone in, more males would have been engaged in that conversation, because it was being male-led.
100%. 100%. I spoke earlier on about the company that I supplied to, Banner, and the public sector manager is a male in his early 50s. Jim, I hope that's right if you watch this. Jim, 45.
I just want to be early 50s, 45.
Jim is incredible. Jim, as he always says, has been on probably the steepest learning curve out of everyone, being the man in the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, probably, other than me, is the most well-informed person about period cups and pants, because Jim is out at all of these events. He embraces it, he grasps it from all different perspectives, and he's really levelled up and he's expanded his knowledge.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. If Jim can go out there and engage people in conversation and help them with the product, then that's amazing. We're not going to shoot him down in flames by being a male in a women's environment. We've got to get men involved in these conversations.
Yeah.
My daughter was at school and said one day she didn't want to do swimming because she wasn't using the term period product yet, and a boy said to her, you're not going swimming today? And she said no, and he said why? She went, I've got my periods. And they went, all right, that's the reaction we want. That is exactly the reaction we want. She's comfortable enough to say to him she's got a period, and he's comfortable enough with it that he's just like, all right, okay. Didn't try and shame her, humiliate her. But people are weird, and we can't always, we're obviously talking about men because we touched on the subject of the guy being employed as the period officer. Women, they're still really funny. I had a woman come up to me last week in college, and she was so interested in the product, and she was a lovely woman. But she said to me, why have they put you here? Now, at the Motherwell campus, I was at the best location I could have been in. See, the canteen area over here, huge big canteen, and I was off to the side. But everybody had to walk past at some point to either go out of the college or come in. So it was a great position. She said to me, why have they put you over here? And I said, what do you mean? She said, you should be further down there, because you're going to stop girls from coming over to you because there's boys around. And I said, I get it, but that's my job, is to make those girls feel comfortable enough to come over to the stand and engage with me. I'll deal with the people round about. But again, stop eliminating boys, because when you're putting boys somewhere else, what you're making them do is go, well, what's going on over there? What's secret? What are the girls doing? You're creating that divide.
Yeah.
But what you want to be doing is embracing boys to come over and say, it's fine, you can come in and have a listen as well. Yeah. You know somebody that's got a period, come and listen. Just make it a safe space for them.
That was my experience in primary school. The girls were taken off and going in for the hush hush video, don't tell the boys about this. And the boys all went off to somewhere and played.
Hot that, yes, you're getting 10 minutes extra break time. It's nuts. And that's what, at the school event last week, it was really good. They brought the boys in initially, gave the boys a bit of a background as to why men's and women's bodies are different, and talked about the crash test dummies and stuff like that. And then they excused the boys after that. So the boys didn't come in for the whole session, but they were brought in at the beginning, told what the girls were going to be discussing, what all the subjects were going to be and why it was really important. You know, because you've still got girls that are being given like boys' PE kit when they play rugby in school, because we don't have kits designed for females. You know, there's loads that you could go into there. But yeah, it's just making everybody comfortable talking about these type of subjects. And the more you talk about it to your friends, they talk about it to someone else. And it's just being supportive of people, being supportive of people's choice of period products, being supportive of people's lack of education at home means they might need more information than someone else, but just support people into making the right choices, you know?
Yeah. And for caring for your products, so that it lasts and is safe to use the next time.
Absolutely. So what I probably haven't touched on this video, and sometimes it's for being a repeating myself, but I don't have it on Jen's platform, and it is on my own platform if you want this information, but I'll very quickly go back to what happens once your period cup's in. So once you know what size and you get to in the pack, cup sits in here, you bleed from the cervix and it goes straight into the cup. You're going to keep this in for anything up to 12 hours. The longer you use one, you'll start to know how long you can keep it in for. Am I right? You just know yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
A while. What you're then going to do is you're going to go back to the bathroom. You're going to wash your hands first of all with soap, so that your hands are sterile. You go to the bathroom, and here's the way I've been explaining this to people recently. See when you have to bear down a wee bit just to move the cup down slightly? All you want to do is, say you go to the bathroom and you need to do a pee, but the pee's not coming out. What do? You kind of push a wee bit, don't you, to get that flow started. That's you engaging your pelvic floor muscles, and you want to do the same with the cup. When you're bared down just a wee tiny bit, it's going to move the cup down so that it's in between your labia. Now, the cup can't come out completely because it's got two wee holes in the top. I think you can see one of those there. And they create an airtight seal that keeps this in place, so it's not going to come out until you break the seal. And this is really important. You never, ever, ever pull that part. You pinch the bottom, because that's breaking the seal. So you're going to wash your hands, bear down ever so slightly. The cup will be between your labia. And I'm going to get my other model, if I can find it, just so that I can show you. I think I've hidden it behind the pillow. So what you're going to do is, when I say reach between your labia, you're just going to reach between here. two fingers between here, and at that point you're going to pinch. Pinch the cup at the bottom here and tip it down the toilet. That is it. So when people say, is there mess? Because I get asked that all the time. There really isn't, because when you think about a tampon's got blood all down it. The blood's all going into the cup here and you're pinching the bottom part. So as I say, pinch, tip straight down the toilet, rinse it in the sink beside you and reinsert it. You don't need to sterilise at that point because your hands are sterile and this isn't touching anything else. But at the end of your period, when your period's completely, completely finished, you're going to take the wee case that it comes with, you open it up and you pop it in here, cover it with water, put it in the microwave for 3 minutes, bring it back out again, dry it off with paper towel, and then it comes with a wee bag that you can store it in. But when, if you're then going out somewhere and you need to have your period product on you, you just fold it inside here and put the lid on, and that's all you're going to take out with you, your period products. It's really discreet. My preferred way for cleaning these, though, doesn't involve the microwave. It does involve sterilising tablets. So you get this, and you get a packet of sterilising tablets. Now, Tesco sell 52 of these for £1.50. Mm-hmm. Get these sterilising tablets. They're only own brand. Yeah, so it's like, there's a big brand, but they're all made by the same company. So get the own brand Tesco ones. Take one of these off. In here with water, and these are activated with cold water as well. In here with water, drop that in, put the lid on, leave it for 20 minutes. When you come back, rinse it off with cold water, pat it dry with kitchen roll, and then just fold it away again. And provided you look after this properly, it'll last up to 10 years.
Boil mine on the stove for 10 minutes.
You can do that as well. Yeah, absolutely, you can do that as well. Definitely. Just gives people a choice because, as I always say to people, I shared flats years ago, and sometimes when you share a flat, we're lucky if there's like two decent cops. Do you know what I mean? So imagine there's only one, and your flatmate comes in, and they go, you're at the pot, and they're like, what's for dinner? Just my menstrual cup. So at least for this, you're giving people the option and another way to clean it as well. It's not the nicest dinner you've ever come into. But yeah, my message is, keep talking to children, family members, talk to anyone, anybody that you're in contact with. I've volunteered recently to become a mentor for MCR Pathways. And MCR Pathways are an organisation that work with all of the high schools in Glasgow. And it's to mentor somebody for an hour every single week. And you go in, you speak to somebody, and it can be somebody who comes from a vulnerable background, a background with different challenges. The person themselves may have their own challenges, but it's just to give them an hour every week. And when you develop that close relationship with somebody, they may then feel comfortable enough to open up to you about different subjects. And that's certainly something for me. If I get paired up with somebody who has a period, then if they ever broach that subject to me or feel comfortable enough, I can give them advice now and say to them, menstrual cups, period pants, there are all these different things that you can try. And as much as a lot of you might not think periods are an important subject, they really are. And when I get school children coming up to me saying things like, can I actually have got a smell coming from my vagina? This girl asked me this last week. Now, it turns out it was just her natural odour, but nobody had spoken to her to say that your vagina is not supposed to smell like roses. So when I started talking about bacterial vaginosis, then she started thinking about this smell. I had a chat with her. She pulled me aside and asked, could she speak to me in private? And I had a chat with her about it. And I said to her, look, you're always going to have an odour there. And that odour can be exacerbated if you're sweating or you're doing pee. But you need to know that these things are absolutely natural. Don't try and mask them. Don't wash in your vagina. Because that's another thing we don't get told. And girls then will panic and think they need to clean inside the vagina and insert soap and stuff
so
in
like
there.
That Femme Fresh and stuff like that? Absolutely not.
These things are just... There are brands like that that are... They are specifically for the intimate areas, the vaginal areas. But your vagina is a self-cleaning organ. It doesn't need anything. It should not have anything
it's
inside. Absolutely. So externally, if you're using the type of product you're talking about, externally is fine, but only the outer part.
Yeah.
So when you speak to girls about these types of things, I told this to the girl and I explained to her that you're going to have your own natural smell anyway. Don't worry about it too much. We all have it. And as you get older, you'll probably start to understand that we all have it. But that girl then said to me, she was second year, and she said, third year, sorry, she said, I've been waiting to speak to somebody about this since primary six. So this is why I'm saying, I know we might not all be comfortable, but it's so, so, so important. If you've got people in your household, younger people who have a period, please speak to them because and make it a comfortable environment because they might have so much that they want to talk to you about and they're just too anxious. But if you make it an easy conversation, go and buy a book. There's brilliant books online that you can buy. As I say, if you don't want to talk about the subject, but make it easy for them, because there's a wee girl that's been worrying about something for a few years, and a 5-minute conversation's reassured her that she's actually normal.
Yeah.
And she also knows that if she ever does develop a real strong, fishy odour, that then there could be something wrong and present herself at a doctor.
Just don't want to see about it and not worry about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Normal.
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I could talk about these products. We could be sitting here till 5 o'clock tonight. But thank you so much.
Anything else you want to say before we start recording?
No, the only thing I'd like to say is, if you haven't already, give me a follow. Facebook's okay for me, so is Instagram. But if you go on my TikTok, loads and loads of videos on there. Anything you're unsure about period cups, jump on there and check out some of the videos and drop me a question if there's anything I can help you with at all. And again, if you want to buy the product, it's available on www.unicorncup.co.uk.
And it's Unicorn Cup UK.
It's Unicorn Cup UK on Instagram, and it's Unicorn Cup TikTok on TikTok.
Okay.
Yeah. But thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening.